The following are some facts and perspectives offered by Andrew Simmons, who's a teacher, who's also a blogger on a site called Edutopia, which is a site for educators about teaching and about current educational research. At the end of 2019, he wrote an article summarizing some of the research around teens and stress and the impact on them. According to Andrew Simmons, a teacher blogger on Edutopia, a popular education website, his personal observation that students seem more stressed than they have in prior years is also backed by research. Quite a different amounts of research show that anxiety, depression, and self-harm are on the rise among teens. According to a 2019 Pew Research poll, over 70% of teens that they surveyed identified stress as what they called a major problem in their lives or among their peers. The U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention found that over the last 12 years, more teens are having thoughts of self-harm, having diagnosable anxiety disorders, cheating on tests, and identifying themselves as having rising pressure in their life. This is quite shocking and a concern for teens themselves and everyone who cares about them, parents, educators, health practitioners, and others. There's also concerns that teens are short on sleep, and research also shows that this is increasing, along with teen schedules getting more booked and in some cases overloaded. Expectations teens face within their own minds or from families or all the different activities they're in also seem to be increasing, where there's academic aspirations and career aspirations, not to maybe mention social life aspirations, which some researchers feel may be connected to increased social media use and perceptions of the need to have like a perfect life or be a perfect or certain type of person. And so this plays into it. And then finally, there's the uncertainty and concern teens have about the future. So that under all these pressures and forward-looking stresses, teens are not feeling confident in future, that their future is going to be good or positive, or that these opportunities are going to be there for them economically or academically, and also with climate change. So is the world even going to be as positive and as full of opportunities as I want it to be with all the things I'm working towards? So for teens, I think there's a lot going on, and a lot of information, a lot of expectations, a lot of busyness, maybe not about sleep, and then a sense of instability, and as a parent and as a teacher for 20 years, and as a person, honestly, maybe surprising to you, that can remember what it's like to be a teenager, I think I'm feeling concerned, and I want to help, and I want to listen, and I want to help provide solutions. The American Psychological Association states that teenagers today are experiencing stress similar to adults, which is unusual compared to the past. They had specific types of stress in the past, but not across their lives, the levels of adults. But that's not true. Today, many teens are reporting similar stress to the adults in their lives. And during certain times in the school year, they are actually reporting stress levels frequently even higher than the adults in their lives. They did a the American Psychological Association did a large study called Stress in America, Are Teens Adopting Adult Stress Habits? And they massive amounts of teens were reporting various things. Here's a few stats. 31% of teens reported feeling overwhelmed. 30% reported feeling frequently depressed or sad as a result of stress. More than one third of teens reported feeling tired, and nearly a quarter talked about skipping a meal because they were too busy to eat or due to stress. So this has a number of So something interesting to come out of this Stress in America survey, which is the American Psychological Survey on Stress in America, that had a whole section specifically around teens. And we can extrapolate fairly confidently information from America to Canada, being neighboring countries with similar social and economic and cultural trends, is that there's three relationships that they explicitly explored to see what the between behaviors and stress levels. And there's three activities that help stress that are just basic self-care. One is sleep. When you sleep more or the right amount, it reduces your stress. Conversely, getting behind on sleep increases stress, even apart from any other factors. Secondly, exercise. Lack of exercise reduces our ability to deal with stress. Conversely, going out and getting exercise actually reduces stress. And third is eating. Good nutrition and eating at proper intervals throughout the day and enough and the right kinds of food help our bodies manage and help us manage and be resilient against stress. Conversely, overeating or eating unhealthy foods or not eating enough or skipping meals, those things make us more stressed. So we know that sleep, exercise, and eating well are positively associated with our ability to handle stress. Unfortunately, when people are stressed by other factors in their life, and this was really reported through the teens, the more stressed we get, the less likely we end up being of taking care of these areas. So we are compounding the problem. So 36% of teens reported that when they get stressed about school and other things, they end up not sleeping enough. Of course, then not sleeping enough is compounding their stress. Exercise was the same. When people get busy, when they get more stressed, they get less motivated, or they feel they have less time. They don't exercise as much. Then along to the third one, similarly, people don't eat as well. They eat more junk food. And so these are three areas where vicious cycles can start. And research indicates that these things are compounding. Online plays into there too, because many teens like to go online as a way of reducing stress, which can actually be a great strategy and a healthy strategy if it's done in the right way. But if it's replacing sleep or replacing exercise, then it becomes counterproductive and even harmful. So there's lots of factors here to think about at play in all of our lives, and particularly for our purposes in the lives of teens. A study by Russell D. Romero in the U.S. National Library of Medicine, and this study was from a Journal of Psychology, talks about adolescents and why they may experience stress more acutely. And one reason is because in adolescence, there are specific brain changes in your hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis. And basically, teenagers, because of the great brain changes they're going through, are more reactive to hormones because of their and more reactive to stimulus and seek more stimulus. And they have heightened stress-induced hormonal responses. It's not clear why, But because parts of their brain are maturing, adolescents may be more sensitive to and impacted by and have actually greater swings in responsiveness to stresses that they go through. So the psychological pressure for adolescents of going through stress of the modern day, you guys may feel it more deeply and may literally be having stronger hormonal swings and responses physiologically that are built into your level of brain development, which means we really need strategies to help you mitigate that. Also related to the levels of teen stress, and this is important when we're talking about strategies, is that number one, most teens as you got older didn't say through the teen years, didn't say their stress was declining. They said rather it was increasing a little bit each year. And almost half the teens, 42%, said they either weren't really doing enough to mitigate their stress, or they really didn't know what they should be doing, or they weren't sure if they were doing enough to manage the stress or whether they could impact it. So this is almost half of teens who either know they're not doing the things they need to do to manage it, or they're not sure what they should be doing. And more than 1 in 10 said they don't even have any singular strategy where they set aside time to deal with or manage or address their stress in any way. And this is a problem because stress is part of every human life, but particularly in the modern age, that kind of daily stress of busyness and information and all the different pressures we're under, they do require then daily practices to keep our activation and our body and our mind. We have to do calming strategies in order to mitigate and navigate the levels of stress that we're under in modern life. The following is an excerpt from an interview with Rick Hansen about mindfulness and its uses for teenagers and kids in schools. Rick Hansen has a PhD in neuropsychology and is a clinical counselor as well. So here's what he has to say about some benefits and suggestions for incorporating mindfulness and practices for young people.
So, you know, very often in the classroom, what we really care about that's relevant are the training attention so kids can pay attention. Paying attention is the front end of any kind of learning. And second, so they have more control over their emotions and their impulses, regulation. So what I would go for, and what I think research generally suggests, is to do small practices repeatedly. A minute, a mindful minute. You know, you get the egg timer or something, you turn it over, you put the clock on, or you just challenge kids. I find it's useful to challenge kids. How long is the typical breath for a 6-year-old or a 16-year-old? And then say, okay, can you pay attention to 4 breaths in a row? That's probably a threshold where a lot of people can do that, but by the 6th breath, it's hard. So get three breaths in a row. Okay, can you pay attention to 6 breaths in a row? And then 9 or 12. Challenge. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I would do that. And that's just 2 minutes, really. But to do that once a day, that's an interesting one. I'd rather have 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week, than 25 minutes as a block on Friday.
If you want to improve your brain functioning through natural behaviors and activities you can do, actual concrete research from the field of neuropsychology shows that exercise, meditation, positive social support, laughing, and quite a number of other activities actually are proven to elevate your mood and can actually improve your brain functioning. However, this takes effort and working these things into your life. And in some cases, like meditation, it can mean learning a new skill. In this interview by Woof Shanti, who was part of a Mindful Kids Peace Summit, teenager Woof Shanti asked a psychologist and neurologist, Rick Hansen, about some of his advice for teens and things that he feels mindfulness practice can help bring to their lives. And here's an answer I thought was useful.
What message do you have for teens navigating the world today, and what message do you have for the parents and educators of those kids?
Great question. Well, I would say a few things, if I could, message, so I don't say them succinctly. The first message I would show for teens, I would say to me, these are things I learned when I was younger, or I learned later in life and I wish I'd known when I was younger, you know? So one is, you matter, get on your own side. It doesn't mean to be arrogant or a jerk. I'm cleaning out my language for public consumption here. Get on your own side, be for yourself. I've been a longtime therapist. It's startling, Adam, how many people are not on their own side. They're a friend to others, but they're not a friend to themselves. They're harsh to themselves or indifferent to their own needs. They're not on their own side. They're not for themselves. That's really important. That was centrally important for me, dealing with the crud I had to deal with growing up. Second,
these things are what he calls natural highs. And there's many ways that you can get a natural high in your life, and you probably know about and do many of them already. Some of the common ones besides what I mentioned include running. People who run know the role of running in helping them focus and helping them move out of a bad mood and into a better state of mind. For Mike Ballas, he loves meditation, and that is going to be what I share with you. Now, he finds it's a positive stress reliever, especially in the evening. And he thinks this is important for teens because in the studies, teens report a lot of their highest stress in the evening hours when they're tired, but you're trying to like get focus and get motivation to get your homework done. According to Mike Ballas, meditation is kind of like plugging in your cell phone for 10 minutes. And if you build it into your evening, not just when you're stressed, but regularly, you're keeping your so-called cell phone charged and able to work well. He encourages young people to learn how to meditate. There's lots of great apps. And start out with 5 to 10 minutes in the late afternoon, just before dinner. Just 5 to 10 minutes a day. And just practice calming your mind. He's been working with students and staff in a particular school for about a year, and the response has been tremendous, and people are really sticking with it beyond his study because they're feeling really big effects.